So here's another coincidence theory. I know there's a lot of coincidence theorists out there. So, you know, ISIS-K, right? Terrorist organization. If you look at their targets, they all seem to share a certain commonality, which I'm sure is strictly coincidental. I'll let you guys figure it out here. So recent attack on Chinese workers, part of the new Silk Road Initiative in Pakistan, because, you know, ISIS-K is big into trading routes and stuff, right? That's important for them, that China doesn't connect to, you know, the Iran and the rest of the world, the Middle East. That's a big goal for them. Then, of course, you had Syria. They were very active in Syria, trying to topple the secular government of Assad, not like Muslim fundamentalists or anything, the Ba'ath Party. Fighting them happened to be also on our side. In Libya, they were very active, fighting against Gaddafi, also not a fundamentalist. Didn't support like terrorist organizations around the world, didn't pose a threat to neighboring countries or the West or anyone else. He just wanted to implement, you know, get off the dollar and implement like the African dinar. Yeah, and look at the mess Libya's in now. So I hope they got what they wanted. So in Libya, Syria, Iran, there was this attack on the market there. Killed 90 people, I think. ISIS-K in Iran. And then recently, of course, you had the attack in Moscow, right? Like the theater attack or the concert hall attack in Moscow. Also ISIS-K. So China, Russia, Iran, Syria, and Libya. Those are their targets. What do they all have in common? Exactly. They happen to also be our enemies. What are the odds of all of this? What a coincidence. What a coincidence. Not because they pose a threat to the world, but because they don't bow down to US hegemony. It's not about the way they treat their own people, because people in Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, the other countries that we support, they're treated just as bad, if not worse, but they are on our payroll. So, or, you know, we have business agreements with them. So it just happened to be that, you know, Gaddafi and Assad, they stood up against US hegemony, didn't accept it, and wanted to do their own thing, and, you know, for the sovereignty of their own country and their own people. So that is why we go after these people. Not because, you know, they hate us for our freedoms or because women can wear bikinis or anything else. That has nothing to do with it. But yeah, what a coincidence that this terrorist organization, anti-Western Muslim fundamentalist, they go after all these Muslims. And who do they not go after? America, which is very strange, because, I mean, you think, like, these jihadists, they would hate America the most, right? Because they're, you know, they're the nemesis, they're the big enemy. They also killed 500,000 children in Iraq. They're illegally occupying part of Syria. I mean, they're supporting Israel and starving Palestinian children and stuff. So, I mean, the list goes on and on about the atrocities they did there. And I haven't even mentioned Afghanistan or Yemen. But they don't go after America. No. Russia is a threat for them. Why? No idea. Oh, also Chechnya, of course. They're very active in the Chechnyan conflict. So what are the odds that there are goals, the geopolitical goals, not really sure what they are, but they happen to 100% align with ours. So they don't go after Israel either, right? No terrorist attacks on Israel for how they're treating their fellow Muslim brethren, right? Very strange. So they think America, Israel, nah, you guys keep doing what you guys are doing. We're looking at China and Russia. Those are really posing a threat to the Middle East, you know, with all the wars they're raising there and all their occupations and all their toppling democratically elected governments and they're supporting of, you know, dictatorships that suppress their own people, like in Saudi Arabia and Jordan. Oh, wait, no, they don't do that. That's the US that does that. But somehow they don't go after us. Could it be a continuation of what we know has happened in the past, where we support like extremist elements if it can further our own political goals, like, you know, all sorts of right-wing fractions in Central and South America, like the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, you know, fighting side by side with Al-Qaeda and ISIS and in Syria and Libya. Could it be a continuation of that? No. That's definitely not it. Because everybody knows people always change, right? People always change. That's why a criminal record does not matter at all. It's not at all an indicator of future behavior. Past behavior, everybody knows past behavior is not an indicator of future behavior at all. It's almost the opposite, right? Like if you have a long rap sheet, then you're basically bottom of the list of suspects when it comes to analyzing who committed a crime, right? You go all the way to the bottom of the list based on, you know, your previous actions. Because everybody knows people always change. People always change. Like America, they don't care about hegemony anymore, right? They're willing to give it all up. They're willing to share. So they wouldn't, or they're willing to starve Palestinian children to death, but they draw the line at, like, collaborating with, like, terrorist organizations. That's where they draw the line. Just like with propaganda. Like, those are the two things they wouldn't do, right? They do, like, the bombing, and they do, like, starving people to death, like in Venezuela and in Palestine. But what they don't do is propaganda. That's where they draw the line. And the other thing they don't do is collaborating with people and paying them off to do the dirty work for them. That's where they draw the line. That's a moral issue for them. You think at some point people's head would just break from all the mental gymnastics that we have to do. But here's the thing. It doesn't require any mental gymnastics if you don't even think about it. People say, yeah, put the dots together. But in the West, in the Western media, like you're not seeing the dots. Like you're not going to get the dots. So there's nothing to connect. And then once you hear a theory like this, it sounds like a conspiracy theory because you've never been programmed to even consider that an option. And you don't have all the dots that were pretty obvious. Like you've never been privy to them. You've never been exposed to them. So it's just all of a sudden you have this all intricate theory based on facts of the past that people then assume everybody knows. But no, people don't know it. People don't. They still think Assad is behind like the gas attacks. They still think that's true. They still think, a lot of people still think Russiagate is true. People still think Ukraine is winning this war. Like there's never any reconciliation being done by people that are wrong. Like the neocons are still in power. So there's never any consequences and there's never any reconciliation of, hey, what have we done in the past? You know, was that all, were we on the right side? Were we on the wrong side? I guess in Korea, we could have done things a little bit differently. In Vietnam, maybe in Iraq. But, that's all water under the bridge. That's all water under the bridge. By the time that all comes out, it's already in the past. And the damage has already been done. And the responsible actors are never held accountable. As a matter of fact, they just keep their positions or they get promoted. So there is no mental gymnastics going on because mental gymnastics implies that you try to reconcile it all and make sense of it all. But they don't because they're not exposed to any of this. Like there's no mainstream media outlet that would even dignify someone like me, or with my viewpoints, or not just me, anyone, any actual journalist too, that has these viewpoints, to have a seat at the table. Because then you're a conspiracy theorist, right? And they shouldn't be taken seriously. But you can say that, you know, Putin has videos of Russian hookers peeing on Trump, and that's why, you know, he's blackmailing him, and that's why basically Trump is doing Putin's bidding. That's not a conspiracy theory. Like, you don't need to provide any evidence for that. You can just say it, and then later turns out it wasn't true. Or, you know, Russia's out of missiles, and, you know, they're using shovels, and they're using, like, tampons for bandages, and they need to take the chips out of their washing machines. You can say all of that. You can have the most outrageous theories, as long as it goes one way. As long as it goes one way. Like, they're not afraid of people lying, as long as it's on behest of the empire. They're afraid of people speaking the truth. Because they also allow, like, the QAnon crazies, like the actual weird conspiracy theories, or other, not actual, but other, in addition to the ones coming from the government and the empire itself, they don't seem to face as much scrutiny, because they know they're wrong. So they allow those lies, because those are not, because they're not telling the truth. They're lying, and they're actually, I think, they're allowing that to happen so that they can, you know, smear everybody and paint them all with the same brush. Say, oh, yep. Oh, wait, you think ISIS-K is part of the CIA? Sure, sure. And 5G gives you cancer, and we're all lizards, and the earth is flat. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, do I have evidentiary proof that ISIS is part of the CIA, or that the CIA is paying ISIS-K? No, of course not, but that's why you'd have journalists that ideally, you know, the legacy media, they would be investigating this based on, you know, the suspicion, because it is very suspicious and odd. So you look into it, and then you're going to expose your own government. Right, that's what media is supposed to do. You hold the power structures accountable. But if you do that, first of all, no one's gonna do that. You'd lose your job if you even suggest it, because the same people that own the government also own all these media companies, so they're all playing for the same team, and you'd lose access, and you'd lose all your connections, and you lose your standing, and you'd be ostracized for even bringing it up. So that's never going to happen. So, yeah, it's just going to be, you know, people like me and other people speculating that it's very odd. And that's where it ends, because, like, we don't have the access and the means to do an actual investigation. Maybe people like Cy Hirsch could do it. But, and then he is also, like, shunned. So, yeah. Nothing's going to happen. And then maybe in 20 years or so, it turns out, oh, it was true. All right. Turns out we were the bad guys in that conflict, though. But not, like, that was then. Now it's different, except then was also now at some point, namely right now. So what's to say you're not wrong again, like in the now, like the future now? But, you know, you can't be too critical of these people, because they have a pretty cushy career that they're risking. And, like, a lot of people suck up to people with a lot less power for a lot less, for a much shittier career. Like, people don't want to rock the boat in their workplace for, like, a $50,000 salary, because they don't want to, you know, get on the radar of middle management or whatever, so that they can keep their shit jobs. That's the same principle, except with much lower stakes. So, yeah, if you have a well-paying career as a journalist, quote-unquote, at the Washington Post or New York Times or the Atlantic or whatever neocon rag or The Economist, you're going to risk a lot more with a lot more influential and wealthier and powerful people than I would say 90% of us do on a daily basis in our jobs. Like, I have plenty of bullshit that I have to suck up, you know, at my job, because I'm not going to rock the boat. Because it's only going to, you know, cause more trouble, and nothing's going to change anyway, because they'll just find someone else to do it. So it's the same here, right? Even if you were to expose something, like, they're never going to take you seriously anyway. It's not like you're actually going to change these institutions. They'll just fire you and make sure you'll never find employment again. So, yeah, bottom line, a lot of us cuck for a lot less to people a lot less powerful. So, you know, keep that in mind.